And welcome. You're tuned to PRN.FM. I'm Catherine, and this program is Heart of Mind Radio, and this is Radio for the New Millennium. This program is about waking up to the full expression of our being. It is an opportunity for us to come together and to share and to grow and to have a more inner perspective, inner-directed perspective. And some people consider that to be spirituality. Others might think of that as being sovereign and being able to function and live from their true self and from their true heart. And our program, Heart of Mind Radio, is here to explore many different kinds of issues. We look at different spiritual perspectives, cultural perspectives, but we also look at the real world and look at the politics and look at what's happening in the environment. So it's an opportunity to learn how we might take action in our lives, how we might do the right thing, find ways to do things that are going to improve our world, and it's going to help us do things to improve our lives. That is in part what the mission of Heart of Mind Radio is all about. Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine, the host of today's program. And I just wanted to share a little commentary with you. And it's about being willing to do work on a spiritual level that complements the work that we're doing on a political and intellectual level. And really, I wanted to get down to some of the underlying structure of our intelligence, of our existence, that really shows how this works or how it's possible. And underlying this concept of offering prayer and doing energy work and doing work on a heart level, it really applies to an understanding of our existence as being a vibrational existence. And you can think of that as being molecular. At the molecular level, at the atomic level, you can see that everything in existence is a vibration. And some of the newer sciences are really beginning to discover that at the base of all existence, when you go tinier and tinier into the structure of physicality, what you basically find is an intelligence. It's all being moved and motivated and run by a base intelligence at the smallest particle of existence is actually a field of intelligence. And one of the ways that we can begin to empower ourselves is to recognize that this is essentially who we are as beings, even though we have human bodies and we're walking around, that at the very core of our existence is this intelligence that underlies everything. And when we can connect into that aspect of our own being, we become much more empowered to control our lives in the sense that we understand what is at play within our lives, and it also gives us an opportunity to interact with other aspects of the world in which we live, the existence in which we live, so that we can have an impact on the state of water, on the state of the air, on the state of our own bodies and our own cellular structure, so that as we become more have more of a capacity to understand this level of communication, then we can have more understanding in what is truly within our power to do. And it's a work in progress always, but the basic principles are really there. So I just wanted to share a little bit with you about some of the understanding of vibration. Vibration, above all else, is an experience. True knowledge of its existence is derived from the feeling of it. Feeling is perception. Emotion is the response to feeling. The flow of energy that is emoted is a perception moving on the wave of its expression. That expression may be judged good or bad, but in truth, it is neutral. If one looks upon their emotions without judgment, the emotions will tell you something about your inner process. One might say, I'm angry, or I'm sad, or I'm happy. These emotions are telling you a story about what is transpiring in your inner world. Feelings can never be wrong or bad. They are a natural human response, a feedback system. But it is helpful to all concerned if we can stop ourselves from directing these emotions toward other beings. This is the first step in gaining control of our experience. The second step is to trace the emotion back to the core perception that generated the flow of emoting energies. Once derived, it is important to be honest with ourselves in articulating what the true nature of that perception is. For example, it could be, I love that person, or I hate that person, or that person makes me feel small, or that person makes me feel important. Don't we tend to hate that person who makes us feel small and love the person that makes us feel important? At this point, we begin to realize that these particular kinds of emotions are based on how others make us feel about ourselves. If this is true, can we really consider the love or the hate we perceive as being real? Aren't these just labels that we put on a particular vibration that is emanating from our being? Once we can recognize that these vibrations that we label love or hate come from our feeling about ourselves, we can stretch our awareness deeper into our own story. In truth, no one can make us feel something that is not already there. A situation or another person's actions and words often evoke an emotional response. And don't we sometimes react far beyond what the situation calls for? This is because the reaction is based on our prior experience more than the current situation. This can only happen when someone's actions or words incite an emotion that was already lying dormant within us. The next thought that might occur is how often these emotions arise in us, or perhaps what kind of circumstances brings them about. Usually, we'll be able to trace a historical tendency that repeats over and over again. The repetitive nature of any experience, whether harmonious or discordant, is a symptom of a particular rhythm or frequency that has embedded itself within our experience. When the generating event is traumatic, our minds endeavor to protect us by creating a certain fear of this experience ever happening again. In our diligence to be on the lookout for anything similar, we keep the discordant frequency alive within us, continually sending out a beacon throughout the tissues of our body and out into the world, with the hope that this beacon of fear will cause us to recognize the potential reoccurrence before it arrives, but we seldom do recognize it. Any vibration or frequency that we hold within our system in this way has a magnetic property that attracts its like. This will most certainly guarantee that we will have the experience again and again. We fail to recognize the impending reoccurrences because this is all happening below the radar of our conscious awareness. In this, we can see that the core issue is never with the offending person. The solution to this vibrational problem is to transform the frequency that is emanating from our being. The first incidental experience that generated the frequency in question remains embedded in our body system until we resolve it. One of the ways of resolving or to dissolve it is to bring it into our conscious awareness through a self-inquiry affected from the frequency of compassion. So what is conscious awareness, you might say? And this is, in part, it is the facet of our being that can recognize, understand, and translate all the frequencies of being. And it's generally, and at its core, nonverbal, but it can translate its understanding into a language that can be understood by the mind and the body. And our task as evolving human beings is to raise our capacity for vibrational intelligence so we can better understand this guidance. And it would be, it's really important for us to understand the frequencies that we operate under and how they impact the people in our lives and how the people around us can have an impact upon us. But the real self-empowerment is in being able to uplift our own frequency so that we can not be adversely affected by all that's going on around us. And I want to, we will be revisiting this again as we move forward through our space-time here on Earth.
you do. Don't go back to sleep.
And welcome back. I'm Catherine, and this program is Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. And here we talk about and learn about and share about waking up to the full expression of our being. And we're going to be having a very interesting conversation coming up in the next segment. We're going to be looking at the prophecies that have been foretelling the age that we're living in right now. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, some say that the Hopi prophecy of the Blue Kachina has been fulfilled and a new world is coming. The Aztecs have said that we are in the dawn of the sixth sun, the new beginning at the end of the Mayan calendar. Edgar Cayce's predictions for erupting volcanoes, earthquake swarms, and major earth changes actually seem to be on track. Even in Christian prophecy, Archangel Gabriel prophesies to Daniel, "These changes in the earth will come to pass, and there begin the periods of readjustment." The New Age community continues to declare that this is a time of ascension.
The following interview originally took place in March of 2014, so some of the astrological signs would not be relevant today, but the overall understanding is very, very prescient to the times we are experiencing right now.
We're going to be speaking to a doctor of Vedic sciences who will give us some insight into the prophecy of the end of the Kali Yuga, the last of four stages the world goes through as part of the cycle of yugas. And I know that some people don't really believe in prophecy, or they might consider it a superstition, but I believe that we can see with our own eyes that the world is changing. Maybe it's time to pay attention to the signs and discover what we need to know to make it through these changes. And joining me today is Dr. Rakesh Kumar, PhD. He is a Vedic astrologer, an Ayurvedic advisor, a spiritual healer, a Hindu priest and spiritual guide, mantra advisor, actually a paramedic, and he's an author. He can advise on homeopathy, yoga, and he's a religious scholar. And Dr. Rakesh Kumar is the founder and chairman of Ishwar USA. And I want to welcome you, Dr. Kumar, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. Good morning, listeners.
It's so wonderful to have you with us today, because all these prophecies seem to be coming together at the same time. And many of us can just look into the news and look into the world, and we can see that there is something very unusual going on. You know, the number of earth disasters and changes have escalated dramatically over the last several years. And I'm wondering if you could give us some understanding of the prophecies or the understanding of the yugas so that we can look at this time that we're in right now.
Yes, actually, as per the Hindu scriptures, there are four yugas. Each yuga is about 5,500 years roughly, although they vary with different times. And the whole age of mankind is said to be about 25,000 years, and we are towards the end of it. And each yuga had different human values. Like in the first yuga, there were people who were huge. They were like about 20 feet tall. The structures were big. The consciousness was high. The population was less. But at the same time, the human values, the spiritual values were very much intact. And then as we came into the golden age, we came into the silver age, then values started declining. People started becoming more materialistic. And then we came to the Bronze Age, where people started becoming even more materialistic. Selfishness, greed, anger, violence, these sort of things started coming inside people. And then the Kali Yuga, the Dark Age, as it's called, is said to be the worst, where there will be violence, there would be no spiritual values. In fact, it was written in the Vishnu Puran, in the very ancient scriptures, it exactly described the Kali Yuga, where evil will be rampant and spiritual values will be minimum, and the good people will suffer and the evil would prosper. But that is coming to an end now, that age of cycle. Even as for the astronomical phenomena, the Earth is about to go undergo the cluster of the bright stars, which is called the quasar, which will bring the Earth into enlightenment. And of course, as for many prophecies and many predictions, the time has come for the Dark Age to end and the New Age to begin, and where people's consciousness will be raised to a higher level of spiritual understanding, where there'll be love, there'll be sharing, there'll be brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God, and people would follow the will of God, the divine way. And that has been written, and that is about to start now. In as per astrological combinations, I have done some research on it. The time starts now with effect from April, where Sun comes into a certain position. Saturn is already into Libra. Now, this combination of Mars and Saturn and Rahu and Ketu are into position now until March 25th. And in the coming month, with these major planets, which can create very, very strong energies, which is going to change the energy and the consciousness of people around the world. And from July onwards, as Jupiter enters into Cancer, with Saturn into Libra, and Sun also coming into the sign of Cancer, Sun is the significator of the soul, the Atma. Jupiter, the spiritual values, Jupiter becomes exalted, very powerful in Cancer. And Saturn, of course, is the hard taskmaster that brings about major changes. So that consciousness is about to unfold itself to mankind, but not before there are some calamities that happen. And as you spoke earlier, that there have been recently a lot of eruptions of volcanoes and earthquakes and all. Now, let me tell you that this is not because of what God made for man. This is what man has made for man. Because over the period of years, people have been digging the earth out of greed for oil, for minerals, for gold, and everything else. So the earth has become hollow from inside. The balance of nature from outside the earth and inside the earth is not the same anymore. Even the movement of the earth, the axis, everything is changing. So obviously there are bound to be reactions to it, which is happening by way of natural calamities.
Yeah, I can. That makes complete sense to me. Absolute sense to me. So we have been living in the period of the Kali Yuga, the darkest of periods in this system. How long has that been? When did it start about?
Well, Kali Yuga started about 3,528 BC.
Okay.
So it started about like 5,328 years back. That was the beginning of the Kali Yuga. And we are towards the end of it now.
Okay. And so, and my understanding of this cycle is that man has not so much evolved but degenerated over from the beginning to where we are now, in which case we're about to move into another golden era. Is that my understanding correct?
Well, yes. Generally, a general average, most of the people are into materialism now. There are no values. People don't respect their parents. People don't have values for their own blood relationships or even for each other. They become greedy. They become selfish. And there was a crimes and evil in the world. But then there are many good souls out there also. There is God's love. God created the entire creation out of love, out of his will. And that those spiritual souls are also there. So those values are still there. Otherwise, the earth would not be intact if it were broken apart long ago. And of course, there have been time and again, you must have heard of various saints, various prophets that came on earth to reinstate dharma, to reinstate righteousness and the right human and spiritual values. And of course, since many years ago, then there were divine incarnations that came on earth in form of consciousness of God, of course, limiting themselves to the human body so as to mingle with us, so as to be with one of us, so that people can easily connect to them and follow them. And Sai Baba had come, in Sathya Sai Baba, and he came to change the world. There are billions of his followers all over the world, and all of them have become spiritual. So the spiritual wave has come in, and now the time from July onwards, you will see there'll be a great change, and I would say the earth is about to experience something that mankind has never seen before, that mankind has never experienced before. This is going to be one of those golden days of mankind, where from the beginning of creation, that has never happened before, that probably will never happen before. So let's all await for the time to come.
So as we are waiting for this transformation to occur, and I know like the Aztecs, who really came after the Mayans, predicted a window of something like 20 years, and we're somewhere in the middle of that, that there is a transition process where the Earth has to clear itself of some of the, all of the negative energies that, you know, because it's not just the physical detriment to the Earth and the actual wounding of the Earth on the physical. There's all these energies of war and hatred and stuff that are embedded into the field of the Earth, and all that has to be lifted and cleared of the Earth and of the people who, all of us who live on the planet. So there is a period, it seems, in which this transition will take place. It doesn't seem likely that it would be like overnight exactly. So what can you advise people that they can do in order to maybe clear some of these negative energies out of their own systems, to be able to bring their own thinking into alignment so that their lives will be a reflection of this new coming age as opposed to a reflection of the old warring factionalism that we're coming out of?
Well, basically all religions, they teach the same thing. God teaches, you know, help ever, hurt never, love all, serve all. So what we are living in, the society, the time that we are living in, we have anger, we have irritation, we have animosity, jealousy, hatred, greed, ego. These are the reasons which undo man, which has caused man to fight against man and which has distanced man from God. So for everyone, we should do an introspection every single day, whether you reacted to someone in an angry manner or is there element of some greed or attachment or jealousy or hatred towards anyone. So I think every day is a moment of observation. Spiritualism is watching yourself each day. It's not really going to churches and temples and chanting of mantras and verses. It is watching your mind. Whatever karmas we perform, whatever we do, it's all because of a state of mind and senses. So the idea is to gain control over these negative elements, what Jesus called the devils, the six devils, which are anger, lust, greed, ego, attachment, desire. So have control over them, and then you become, try to become calm. Try to connect to God. Try to connect to peace, to shanti. God is all about love and peace. So man has gone off the track because of Maya, because materialism, and that's where we have imbibed these negative values. So we need to undo them. Watch ourselves every single day. Every day, ask yourself the question, have I behaved myself today? Violence is not necessarily physical violence. Even a spurt of anger is violence. And whenever we live in these negative energies, it affects our health. It affects our body. It affects our human relationship, the society, the world, everyone. So I think if each one of us start working on ourselves by controlling these negative energies and try to be calm, try to be peaceful, I think that would raise our consciousness.
And Dr. Rakesh, one of the things that I think it's really important for people to understand, that we each come from a different cultural influence or a different religious influence, and some people don't even really recognize it, a God. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that religions over the course of history have been so destructive, and that people have turned away from that. But I think it's important for them to understand that what you're talking about is about, you know, coming to a real human understanding and having within themselves these qualities. So I'm wondering if you can speak for a moment to how important it is to have these qualities, no matter what somebody's belief system might be.
You see, a mother is a mother, whether it's an African mother or an American mother or Indian mother or Chinese mother. The mother has a quality of love for the child, of giving, of providing, of doing everything. Similarly, God is just that one entity, and we should not get involved into what the religion says, because the people who translate or interpret the religion, they give wrong messages. So believe that there is only one race, the race of humanity, only one religion, the religion of love. only one God who's omnipresent. You can give him any names. It doesn't matter. Like in English, we call water water. In Sanskrit, you call it a different name. In Chinese, you call it different, and so on and so forth. But it is still water, and it quenches your thirst. So similarly, I suggest that let's not get involved in what religion is merely a path to keep you tied down to righteousness and to the true values and all that. But when people overdo it and then they start criticizing each other's religions and all, that is wrong. So believe in that one God who is omnipresent, who can come in any form, in many forms, and the only religion of mankind is religion of love, of compassion and care and sharing and caring. That is the only religion. There is no need to go into complicated scriptures or read verses, because God is not impressed by that. God only wants a true heart, a heart full of love and compassion. And service to man is service to God. If you look at your fellow human beings, you try to help someone selflessly out of love, that is devotion. That is worship. Work is worship. Duty is God. If you follow these simple things, I think no need to get involved into controversies about religion. We should just have this God in our heart, because as I say, heart is the temple of God. So that is what we should connect to. Never mind the mind, and never mind the other procedures and protocols. Simplicity of the heart and sincerity of the heart is what God looks for. And really, you look like people who fall in love, even at a humanitarian level. Love is such a beautiful thing. You forget about your tensions. You're not worried even if you haven't had food. You don't think of anything, because it's such a beautiful feeling. Similarly, if we have a feeling of love in our heart for everyone, look everyone alike and try to do that. I know it's easier said than done, but this is what spiritualism is about. Once we develop an equilibrium state of mind where everything is in control, no anger, no jealousy, no animosity, no greed, no desires, everything is in a balanced level, and of course, a heart full of compassion and love, and that is what God wants. That is how we human beings are supposed to be. And that is what is about to happen now in this new age to come.
Okay. So as we are wrapping up this conversation, I know that you do a lot of work to advise people, you know, with the various sciences and guidance. So I'm wondering if we could just let our listeners know a little bit about the kind of work that you do, because I know that people are going through extreme challenges right now. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and I'm very happy that we are in this period of transformation, and I have great hope and confidence that things will change in our existence. But, you know, people are becoming sick, they're developing, you know, all of the diseases of our times, with blood pressure and diabetes and cancers and strokes and then depression, and not being able to find their way out of this box. And so I'm wondering if you could maybe speak for just a moment on how people should approach some of these challenges. You know, losing homes, losing jobs. Transition and change is a very frightful thing for us sometimes. And maybe advise to that, and let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Well, one of the things is misplaced judgment. People hope that they'll be buying a house and they will keep their jobs and money will keep coming in. That sometimes doesn't happen. People hope they will get married and have a happy family and children. That doesn't work out all the time, not for everyone, because it is all an act of destiny and sometimes the time. So sometimes the act may be right, the timing may be wrong. And this is what I do, basically. It's Vedic astrology, if you want to call it astrology. I call it a cosmic vision, an insight into the past, present, and future, where you can foresee events of people's life, what they are likely to experience, and when. And it also pertains to your health and your well-being, and the ancient science of Ayurveda, the herbs, the herbal science of natural healing was invented many thousands of years ago by the enlightened saints, which is what I do also. I'm an Ayurvedic doctor, practitioner. I also have Ayurvedic products, all natural, all herbal stuff. So healing through nature, everything is out there in nature, and we can heal ourselves as long as there are certain areas in our life which are like your career, your businesses, your relationships. That is something that you cannot put a finger on. Sometimes it's a misplaced judgment, but if someone comes for a reading, then I can see the planets and how the planets are positioned in a person's chart, and then what would be the best area for the person, whether to buy a house, whether to get married, when to get married, to whom to get married also, because you do a compatibility of planetary energies. Sometimes when people date, they meet, everything is fine, but when they end up getting married, it's a lot bitter life, because this is one of the signs where you can foresee into the future, and then subsequently, knowing what to expect, good or bad, it would give them confidence to make the right choice, or the right decision before the event happens. If it's negative, then you can prevent it. If it's positive, you can give them full confidence that go ahead with it, you will surely succeed. So, and of course, a bit of a spiritual counseling to understand that this is a law of karma. Everything cannot be achieved for everyone. Like, everyone cannot become a president. Everyone cannot become a Bill Gates. It's each to your karma and destiny. The idea is to know it, be content with it, be happy with it. And once you're happy and content, that is what matters, not the millions. And same thing with human relationships. Whoever is meant to be in the time ordained for you as God, as per your karma, that's when it'll be. So the wisdom to know is the best remedy. And, of course, the natural remedy, instead of flocking to seek all chemicals and all other superficial remedies which are only temporary, I think all healing is in nature, and whether in natural food or supplements, I think people should live in harmony with nature, live naturally, live happy.
Very good. Briefly, I know that we are, you know, when you do the astrology, the Vedic astrology, there are all of these planetary influences that last either for months or for years, where you might be under some strong influence, and so that it kind of colors everything that occurs in your life. So what can people do to really cope with these vaster influences that really affects everyone, but sometimes based on when you were born, it might affect you more strongly than others?
Yes, in the ancient scriptures, it was mentioned by the enlightened saints that these planets, the entire creation, in fact, is a projection of the seven colors that you see in the rainbow. They emanate from the seven planets. And there are some gemstones, for example. They have high concentration of the colors which are radiated from the planet. For example, from Mercury, it's the green, the red. Moon is the orange color, and so on. So we can wear these astrological gemstones as protection, as even enhancement of the weaker areas of our life, and that can help us deal with these practical matters or the problems that we are experiencing in whichever area we are concerned about.
Mm-hmm. And could one also, if you know, wear the colors or of the influence? I mean, could they have that in their wardrobe? Could they have that in other ways, deal with the colors?
Well, yes, to a lesser degree, but actually speaking, science said, you know, whatever we see through a naked eye, that is not the true color. It's only when you see it through a prism, then you see the true color. In school, you must have done this prism experiment where you put a droplet of water on a prism, and then you see all seven colors of the rainbow. So what appears to be yellow, like is seen through the prism, actually gives blue color rays. So this is the cosmic science, a higher science. But even then, I would say, you know, if your mind is connected to the value, let's say, yellow color of Jupiter, and you say, all right, this is going to make my Jupiter positive, it's like an auto-suggestion. So then you also try to live up or acquire to the Jupiterian qualities. So
all right, we're out of time. So why don't you give your contact information so that people can contact you if they'd like.
Very good. My phone number is 718-429-1892. I repeat, 718-429-1892, and the website is ishwarcenter.org, ishwarcenter.org.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Rakesh Kumar.
You're most welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. And you've been listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is a program that is for preparing ourselves for the new millennium, and we want to encourage that we all wake up to the full expression of our being.
Thank you for joining me today. You can contact me, Catherine Davis, by email at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. heartofmind.com. My website is heartofmindradio.com. I offer different services as well. I am a Qigong teacher. That's energy movement, a little bit like what you would think of a Chinese yoga practice. Anyway, you can find out more about that practice at the website qigongonline.net. That is spelled QIGONGONLINE.net. And you can also register for a class, a movement meditation class, every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. And you would go to studiomaya.com, studiomaya.com, and join me during that weekly class. I offer energy healing and spiritual consultation both in Brooklyn and Manhattan. And you can go to my website, katharyn.one, katharyn.one. Or you can call and leave a message about any of these things, or if you have questions about the program and guests. And that phone number is 347-480-1694. We have a special training program coming up in next week, actually, starting on Tuesday. It's called Qigong Self-Care, and it's a free introduction, and I will leave a link for that and all these other connections on the archive page. So just follow to the archive for Heart of Mind Radio, or you could go to the website heartofmindradio.com to make all these connections. Be well and have a wonderful week, and join me again next week, same time, same channel. Bye for now.
young girl changing, trying to please me. You never let me down before. I don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. No love, I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way you are. Don't go trying some new fashion, don't change the color of your hair. Hey there, you always have my unspoken passion. Although I might not seem to care, I don't want clever conversation, don't want to work that hard, no love. I just want someone to talk to. I want you just the way you are. I need to know that you will always be the same old someone that I do. What will it take till you believe in me the way I believe in you? Yeah. I said I love you, that's forever. This I promise from my heart, oh Lord. I could not love you any better, yeah. I love you just the way you are. I don't want to work that hard, no love. I just want someone to talk to. I want you just the way you are.